Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That guy throws the unexpected. Well, you know, if you're not going to be overpowering, throw the unexpected. Pitch to both sides of the plate. They don't teach that anymore. I talked to Drew French, who did a great job as our first year pitching coach last year in 2024. I said, you know, and they asked me, you know, your dad asked, it got guys to come down to spring training this year. I said, so if I come down, can I teach them to throw the ball low and away? He said, Jim, the average major league pitcher misses their target by 9 inches. And then I watched the video the other day. It's about 12 and a half inches. So the plate's 17 inches wide. And if, you know, in the old days, you lived on the corners.
Yep.
You threw strike one away. That was the Oriole. You know, if you pitched for the White Sox and Johnny Sain, it was kind of like today, spin the ball, you know, but George Bamberger was, can you stay out of the middle of the plate? And now it's, okay, how hard do I throw?
Hall of Fame pitcher, not just Orioles, Baseball Hall of Fame. On the Ryan Ripken Show, it's Featured Artist Friday, last hour, Van Halen. Roth era only. Get your song request in. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you with the Plaza Port text line at 483-1057. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Video will be back on Monday. But Cakes, talking about pitching, we like to think of sports not necessarily rocket science. I mean, you know what you have to do and you have to execute to have success. But Jim Palmer explaining the intricacies of pitching. And he mentioned Johnny Sain, Spawn and Sain, Pray for Rain when he was in with the Braves. But Jim had Harry Brekine, then Bamberger, then Ray Miller, and, you know, pretty strong lineage of pitching coaches, and he talked about a team-wide philosophy. First of all, elaborate on what he was saying about, you know, getting outs, and what is the Orioles' pitching philosophy here in 2025?
Yeah, so I got a chance to have Jim come down to my studio on the Ryan Ripken Show. So if you want to see that full interview, it's out now on the channel on YouTube. But for Jim in general, we talked a lot about pitching, right? Because there has been a different philosophy that is being, I guess, presented is the right way to say this. And this can be from, if you want to go from the arm injuries to how the game is focused on to, I guess in my case, where it comes down to is pitching to your skill set. And you heard this when he said about, you know, hey, some managers, hey, spin the ball. Some saying, hey, live on the corners. The reality in today's day and age, if you have velo, you can get away with more. That is true. So when he's talking about middle of the plate, set up middle. And if you throw 100 like a Felix Bautista, hitting 100's hard. I saw a stat last year, Bob, with Spencer Strider, since, again, we saw him pitch in the rehab game against the Tides. Strider throws 100. And I think on balls that he threw 100 in the heart of the plate, no one had an extra base hit off him the entire season until Castellanos took him deep in the playoffs, 2 years ago, right? So you can get away with more. And then if you have that velo with a hard breaking ball, well, you can have success, but there's only a handful of guys maybe you can say throughout baseball that can really fit to that formula. And let's just talk about then for the Baltimore Orioles. I mentioned Felix Bautista. I'd put him in that category. I would put Gregory Soto in the category of, hey, throw it over the heart of the plate. You got good stuff. It's going to be hard to hit. But other pitchers that have to be a little bit more deceptive, a little bit more pitch to contact and understanding what they're doing. One of them's supposed to throw tonight in Tomoyuki Sugano. Cade Povich, a young pitcher that has good deception. Dean Kramer has good stuff, but he's not overpowering. So you see what I mean?
Sure.
That's where the conversation was going, and it's reading the bat of the hitters, seeing the sequence of how it goes, and that's where Jim Palmer is talking about where maybe there's a disconnect. Today's day and age, throw your best pitch regardless of the situation. Older school mentality is, well, let's actually read what the hitter's doing to us that day.
Now, old school philosophy, you know, painting corners, being deceptive and all of that good stuff. But Ross Grimsley, another outstanding former Oriole All-Star with the Expos, helped the Orioles get to the 74 AL East Championship because he was a pitching coach for a long time in the Giants organization, actually a mentor to Baumgartner.
Mm.
Forgot his name. What was his first name?
Now I'm blanking.
Madison Baumgartner.
Madison. I was thinking Ross Baumgartner.
Yeah.
He used to pitch for the White Sox way back when. But, you know, stud, arguably the best pitcher in the National League for a couple of years. That these guys can't, Ross, these guys can't hit spots. Not only do they miss by a couple inches, he's like, they miss by feet. If you're familiar, how they threw a profanity in there. They can't miss by 6 inches. They miss by feet. So is that an issue, too, where you'd like to paint your spots and you'd like to be reliable in painting corners and maybe earning the respect of the umps that you get those calls? So these guys don't even come close to hitting that spot.
Well, and that goes back to when you got stuff. And what I'm talking about stuff is you got that velo and you got a good secondary pitch or a different variation of that. You can do what you want. Right, and you can get away with more. So, like Emmanuel Clase, the Guardians closer, he's got a cutter he throws a ton. And if that thing cuts and it stays in, or it cuts and it moves a foot, you're in trouble. You don't know sometimes exactly where it's going to be. But if he does that correctly, good luck. But other guys, if you don't throw that hard, that's where you get away with mistakes. Like, that's why I brought up my guy Dean. I love Dean Kramer. I think he has great stuff. But we've talked about it before. If Dean hangs pitches over the heart of the plate when he gets ahead of hitters, they'll take advantage of him. He doesn't have the leeway as like a Kyle Bradish does, who has a little bit more velo and has a more devastating secondary pitch. So it's really just figuring out what works for you and then how do you continue to do that. And I think that that's what Jim is just kind of alluding to in general is we're in a day and age where you get promoted, you get noticed for velo because only so many people can throw near 100.
Right.
However, there's a difference between throwing hard and knowing what you're doing. And the true superstar talented guys, like I'll say this, Paul Skeens. It's probably the talked about guy right now. Paul Skeens has some of the nastiest stuff. What makes him even nastier is he has an idea of what he wants to do. And that's why if he stays healthy, he might be this next great pitcher of our generation.
Now, getting back to the Orioles, Cade Povich comes to mind. And, you know, might not throw 99 miles an hour, but he's not possible. Like you mentioned Kramer. Kramer cranks it up to 95. It's not like he's throwing 89. But what about Povich? What's that fine line for your batting practice to a guy that can really be effective getting hitters out here?
For Cade, it's everything starts off as fastball, and he's started to develop a better changeup. Got his curveball, but everything sets up with his fastball. And he has some deception, so he throws 92, 93, but his hiding of the baseball can make it feel like 96. If that's the case, great. We still got to locate it a little bit, because if you can locate your heater, that's going to make you tougher to be able to pinpoint, and then it's going to make your secondary stuff even harder to understand. A new phrase nowadays is tunneling a pitch, Bob. I don't know if you've heard of that or Nolan.
No.
They say tunneling a pitch. So if it's coming out of the hand and it looks to the hitter that, say, a fastball and a changeup's coming out almost the exact same way, that's what you want. You want it to look the same for as long as it can, and then it moves in different directions at the right time. If you can mimic that, that's what Cade, I would say for him. If he can do that and have people start to second guess what he's going to throw, that's ultimately going to lead to his success. But he has a high ceiling. He's just going to have to put that together.
As the Orioles are looking to fill spots in the rotation, health obviously has caused a lot of these problems. Brandon Young's name's been brought up a lot here, Ryan Ripken. What can you tell us about him? Last I checked, hadn't given up a run yet. Yeah, but I believe he's scheduled to start today, but had a no-hitter through 5+. Down on the farm, is he a big arm, high velo guy, or is he someone that's going to have to be kind of creative to get hitters out at this level?
Well, I think it's a combination, to be honest. And right now, when you can look at it, he's a guy through his first outing so far this year. You're right. It's been good. 11 innings, 11 strikeouts. It's a 1-1. It's not anything crazy. But what I like with him right now, when you're seeing his numbers, and just so I have it correct here, what I love is 7 hits. And we're going here 2 walks. So for me, he's pitching in the zone. He's forcing them, hey, you want to beat me? I'm going to put it within this vicinity. So I think for Brandon Young, what I love seeing with him is he's understanding, I got to be efficient. You know, and I think at a young pitcher, even if you do have the tremendous stuff and you're overpowering, that's fantastic. But Zach Eflin's the other example up here in Baltimore. No one is more efficient than Zach Eflin on the staff right now. That is something I'm curious with Brandon Young. Can he be that? If he can do that, should be able to pitch for a while.
Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, you want to get in? A couple more segments to go. Give us a call at 410-583-1057. Orioles Blue Jays game one of this 3-game set scheduled for 705 Sagano against Francis. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Because of the weather concerns, going to be back here tonight at the Fan Studios with Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken. We'll come back. American League East report. John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. Talk about the Orioles through the first 13 games. Is he with me and Nolan? Well, Nolan's like, just to fire everybody. No, you're not there yet. But not to put words in your mouth because nobody speaks for Nolan. But we're a little more pessimistic. Ryan's like, hey, man, pump the brakes. Everything's cool. What does John think about this?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time is subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Slow start.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, featured artist Friday, Roth era Van Halen, which is like the only Van Halen. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Orioles were off yesterday after going 2-4 on their road trip through Kansas City and Arizona, getting their asses handed to them in the finale 9-0. So they limp home taking on the Toronto Blue Jays, and we'll get to them in a second. But there were a couple of games in the American League East yesterday, including the Angels taking on their Rays down at what, the Yankees minor league complex. And if I'm a Rays fan, I wasn't liking the loud noises coming off these Angels bats yesterday.
And there's Trout driving one to right center field. It's a multi-home run game for Mike Trout. He is the third Angel to hit two home runs today.
FanDuel Sportsnet, Mike Trout goes deep twice. Tyler Ward goes deep twice. Joe Adell, who hadn't hit a homer all season, hit two in the same inning as the Angels clobber Tampa 11-1. And look, we know you mentioned Mike Trout, Ryan, earlier. This guy was a generational player, was the best player in baseball for 3, 4, 5 years, comparing him to the all-time greats. Otani's now surpassed him as that dude. But injuries have slowed. Still a Hall of Famer, we're guessing, Mike Trout.
Oh, no
but,
doubt.
But, I mean, because of injuries, he hasn't played over 10 games in 6, 7 years. How has his all-time status been affected? I mean, he hit the two home runs yesterday, but he's hitting, 205 on the season around there. How has his all-time legacy, I don't want to say been tarnished, but been affected because of his inability to stay on the field here?
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing, too, is Mike Trout's still only 33 years old.
Right.
When you look at that's how long he's been in the league. That's how dominant he was for a stretch. But, yeah, it does hinder it. You know, in some cases, you know, I'd say it's even a lesser version of what Ken Griffey Jr. was on pace for then.
Sure.
Of, like, I thought Ken was going to be the all-time home run leader. If he had stayed healthy and all had been good, we might be talking about Ken Griffey Jr. even higher than already being an all-time great because he is. I think when it's all said and done, though, Mike Trout is going to go down as one of the best center fielders we've ever seen. And quite frankly, if he's healthy, Bob, I think we're going to see a year for Mike pretty close to some of his MVP seasons we've seen in the past.
And Nolan, correct me if I'm wrong real quick, but Trout, as great of a outfielder as he is, he's never won a gold glove because he hasn't, I guess, hit the required mark in regards to starts at a certain position.
Right, one of the most stunning facts in baseball.
Yeah.
And he's been a gold glove level performer, whether it's right field, center field, for years and years and years. But anyway, Angels off to a great start. We'll get the standings here in a second. Elsewhere in the division, Toronto in town going for the sweep against the Red Sox yesterday at Fenway. Didn't really happen.
Little dribbler on the infield. And the Red Sox get the run. And the Sox have won it. A gold glover at second base, and he muffed it, and the Red Sox win the game 4-3.
Nesson on the call, three-time consecutive gold glover. Andrés Giménez with Cleveland now in Toronto, who, you know, he kind of whipped up on the Oriole pitching there in the opening series of the year. But, hey, look, they lose a heartbreaker 4-3, the Blue Jays, but they do take 3 out of 4 at Fenway after getting swept in New York. And you mentioned this earlier, Ryan Ripken. Hey, in the AL East, whoever can establish early, like in the Central, everybody's going to feast on the White Sox. Nobody's getting feasted here in the East, we don't think.
I don't think so. And for the Blue Jays, though, if they are going to make a run, they're going to have to win these series and go on the road and play well against teams like the Red Sox, teams like the Orioles, Yankees, Rays. Great series for them. Not a great ending. But for the Blue Jays, you feel good coming to Baltimore. And for the Red Sox, I think they're going to a nice place to play next. I think they're heading to Chicago, a team that just seems to be reeling losers of 8 straight.
Yeah, nothing says give me a win more than playing the White Sox. Sorry, Mike Harmon out there at Fox Land. As Ryan mentioned, we get to the standings in a second. Orioles host the Blue Jays. Atlanta, walk-off yesterday, Asuna. They're at Tampa. What's that facility like, by the way, where the Rays are calling home for this?
Steinbrenner Field down there,
yeah.
You mean? Which is also still strange when you put all the Rays graphics and everything up at Steinbrenner Field. Be curious what George would think about it.
George is getting upset.
You know, it's fine. You know, the Yankees do a great job of the facility. Honestly, Bob, it might be a better facility than the Trop, you know, as far as for the players' sake. But is it a downgrade? Yes, as far as for Big League Stadium. But you know where you're really going to feel it? When it's June and July and August and you got to be outside, and you are not going to be protected from the sun when it says it's 90, feeling like 105 down in Florida.
We'll get the sun block and make it happen, everybody. So it's Atlanta, Tampa, Steinbrenner Field. Giants at the Yankees, 7:05. That should be an interesting matchup of two teams at or near the top of the standings in their respective divisions here.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I guess one was thinking that the Yankees would kind of be there, but the Giants have been all across just playing great baseball. Just like the Orioles, the Yankees got questions with the pitching side of it. So I'm really curious how that series is going to unfold.
It's Stroman against Robbie Ray in that matchup. And then Ryan mentioned Boston at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. Chicago 2-10. They've lost 8 in a row and kind of finding ways to lose teams that struggle. That's kind of the calling card, right?
Yeah, you know, all the feel-good, Venable getting his first win. It felt like that's years ago when he's getting the celebration in the locker room, the showers. And all of a sudden, now the reality set in. This is a team that is going to struggle, and they are going to struggle a lot. I think the over and under was 45 wins this year for the White Sox. I feel for them. It's going to be a brutal 2025.
American League East standings, Yankees 7-5, tied with Toronto 8-6, while the Yanks percentage points in front. Boston 7-7, rolling at 500 a game back. Tampa 5-7, two back, and the Orioles bringing up the rear. They are 5-8, 2.5 off the pace. Why does it feel like 40 games out of
it? Nolan, should we call it a year? Should the season be over through 13?
It's not over. It's not over.
Oh, there it is. Is that your words, though? I didn't say it.
Well, yesterday I never called it over.
No.
This weekend, though, very pivotal series.
You want the panic bell?
Yeah, not yet. No panic, Howie. No panic.
No panic bell. All right, let's get out to the phones. John Mioli joining us, bottom of the hour, Baltimore Banner. Tim in Eldersburg. Tim, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Perfect before the break. The perfect segment. All I notice when Kramer and sometimes Povich pitches, less than 10% of those pitches are on the inside third of the plate. And I know that if Jim Palmer took the time to talk to them about how much it favors the batter to not even have to worry about an inside pitch. And if you track it on MLB.com where they have the little box and everything, if you track it, you'll see that there was no bad results. It was either an out or a strike or a fouled strike, something. No bad results on the inside third of the plate until the home run that he gave up. Kramer gave up the last game. No bad outcome. And to be able to let the batter dive across the plate, you know, and take that extra hard swing and not have to worry about an inside pitch. It's just crazy when you're topping out at 94. You're not even hitting 95 right now with Kramer. Povich is a little bit better at pitching inside, but there's still less than 10% of those pitches on the inside third of the plate.
All right, Tim, thanks for the call, man. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, to that point, Tim, I think pitchers got to get comfortable with throwing inside. I know that might sound crazy. Some actually enjoy it, some don't. And the other part is when they look about the analytics of it, well, am I just trying to put it in a vicinity? But you're right. If you're able to establish in and out, it sets things up. And I know this is one of the all-time great pitchers, or two of them I'm about to mention. But Greg Maddux, what made him so great is that he knew how to dot it in and out and you couldn't get comfortable. And then Mariano Rivera had two fastball variations, a two-seamer and a cutter. But guess what? You were afraid to guess wrong on Mariano because if you did, you weren't feeling good. You're taking one way too inside, or your hands are probably getting blown up from a cutter. So it is important to be able to establish both sides of the plate.
We'll come back. John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, preview the Toronto series with him. Season that has been so far 5-8 for the Orioles. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access coming up at 2, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Tim Barbalay's Ryan Ripken, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. We're live, I tell you, from the beautiful studios of the Fan. From the Baltimore Banner, Window Nation guest hotline, let's welcome back to the show, John Mioli. John, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing all right. And, John, we'll start with the offense. What has been to you the most concerning, frustrating, maybe something that could be a long-term issue? The lack of home runs since opening day, well-documented, 7 games, 3 runs or less. So is the offense ready to percolate, minus Kowser for an extended period, or could we be looking at more of the same from the second half of last season in regards to run production?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year's team, you know, it was funny hearing all through last year that they hit too many home runs. Now, I think people would love for them to hit, you know, a couple home runs a game and have that be the whole offense given what we've seen so far. The thing I'm most, most observing, which is not a good way of saying that, is that this team, even stretching back to last year, if you think back to the 2023 team, there was no deficit that felt too big for them to overcome late in games. They had an offense that was relentless, and if they didn't get you early, they were going to get you late. And now it feels like, really, since the second half of last year, if they didn't get you early, they weren't going to get you at all. And that's kind of how it's carried over so far this year. It just seems like this team has struggled to stay in the fight, which is a bad way of saying that. I'm not saying they're giving up, but it feels like they're struggling to kind of stay engaged. And if the first two times through the lineup don't go well, to have the confidence that the third time will. And that comes with success. That comes with that actually playing out that way in games. But it just feels like it hasn't so far this season, and dating back to the second half of last year. And I think that's really weighing on them at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely a talking point with everything that's happening. John, good to hear from you again. And, you know, with that being said, you know, with the offensive side, that in 2023 it was, hey, any circumstance the Birds could come back, because it felt like the Orioles pitching staff would keep them in the game to give them time. But right now, it's kind of there's some stress. And where I'm going with this is on the pitching side. What do you make of with the Orioles staff right now of pressure? You know, you lose a guy like Zach Eflin. The offense has been erratic. Is that putting more pressure, you think, on some of these starters here, that if they don't get those runs early, more pressure to try to keep this game even closer, because maybe one or two runs feels like that might be the difference?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure that this rotation, you know, as it was constructed entering the season, we know that it could be better as the season goes on, but, you know, they do not have like a very high bar to clear for this team to be good. They just need to keep these games close, to keep this team engaged, so that if the offense is doing what it's supposed to be doing, then they can ultimately win some of these games. You know, keep it close early and you know, get some hits late. The bullpen has had some members of it that are not living up to expectations, but a lot of them are. We're really talking about, you know, issues and with starters leaving the game down 4 or 5 runs. And at that point, the Orioles aren't able to come back. So I think just basically keeping the team engaged is going to be the thing that, you know, turns this around. But, and we're talking about 2 weeks, but that hasn't happened more nights than not. And I think that weighs on everything, to be honest.
Yeah, this is kind of unfamiliar territory, I guess, John, over the last 2 years, where the Orioles have been the team that wins series constantly, or they were avoiding sweeps. You know, that huge streak that they had of consecutive series not being swept.
Yeah, they
right?
had a losing month for like a year and a half.
Exactly. So it all weighs. So you mentioned about being engaged. What's then, when you're saying about that it's weighing on them, do you think then, when you mentioned last year, I like to use the word adversity. Do you think then there's still them trying to prove that they can get past some of that adversity? Do you think that that's still sticking in the back of their heads?
Oh, a little bit. I think it's, you know, I've struggled with kind of figuring out what to think of this season for all of the 2 weeks that it's been going. I mean, we're not talking about a really long period of time, but I think what's happening right now is that, even in the way they didn't last year, you know, they might have had bad games, but like they didn't play as badly as often as they have this season in any of the last few years. And I'm not sure where that comes from. I'm not sure if that's, you know, not feeling their best offensively, knowing that the pitching staff is challenged, knowing that their roster is not what it was in years past because of injuries. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm challenged to I'm challenged to think of a reason why this team is playing as many games that don't feel as competitive as they should be as frequently as they are. And I'm not sure if that comes down to belief, if that comes down to pressure. You know, there's always going to be pressure. We're not talking, and we're also not talking about a bunch of, you know, out of nowhere stars. Like, everyone we're talking about in this lineup who plays a meaningful role was a first round draft pick or a top prospect in some form or fashion to, and came up with expectations. Like, the expectations they've been dealing with for a long time, I just think they've dealt with it better in the past, if that's what's happening. But it's challenging. And, you know, I find myself torn between the, you know, it being 2 weeks and, you know, potentially being a blip and feeling like there might be more reason to concern than I'm letting myself feel.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, joining us here. 105.7 The Fan, Bob Henney, Ryan Ripken. John, real quick, Ryan mentioned adversity. Charlie Morton, Dean Kramer, most likely to overcome the early season adversity, in your opinion?
I think both do. Ultimately, I feel more comfortable saying Dean Kramer because Dean Kramer has historically been a much better pitcher as the season has gone on than he has early in the season. I don't think his Aprils have been statistically what they are this year. And I think there's probably a little more grace for him to find his best form and for him to be the guy he's been in a lot of these more recent second halves, because it's not like this roster is brimming with alternatives for him. So he might get the chance to pitch himself back into form. Charlie Morton, I feel like the strikeouts are encouraging, but there's something that happens at a stage when pitchers stop being, you know, feeling like they can or should throw the ball over the plate, where you kind of start to take notes. So I'm going to bet on Dean Kramer for that, even though I think that probably both of them will be better than they are right now pretty soon.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. John, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the series this weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Will do. Enjoy your weekend, fellas.
There he is, John Mioli. We'll come back. Funhouse trip. Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over at 2. And then Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Live from the studios, Tim Arbelais, Ryan Ripken here on The Fan. And you mentioned that they hadn't lost a series in 1,000 years. Then they finally got that done with. But yeah, they had winning month after winning month after winning month. And, you know, there's still a time to salvage April here. Inside Access coming up next. Baltimore Baseball Tonight, 6 o'clock, live from our studios with Tim Arbelais and Ryan Ripken. Preview tonight's matchup with the Blue Jays and the weekend series. And then the Orioles are off on Monday. And it's Cleveland, the Guardians, coming to town for the first and only time this season.
That is a scrappy team. And last year, the Orioles had some fits with the Central teams there, especially Cleveland. So, Cleveland, that should be a fun series. They are a really good team. We just saw Stephen Kwan pop up on the screen, one of the most dynamic players to watch. Should be a good one.
Yeah, Gold Glove outfielder there. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people? Or are we getting right to that funhouse of yours?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Lee in Towson, who says, do you guys think that the reason for the O's struggles are more self-inflicted, or do you think that the rest of the league has figured out the team, so to speak, taking advantage of their weaknesses now that there's more data, numbers, analysis on this younger team out there?
No, I don't think it's necessarily that they're taking advantage. I think every team early on is trying to figure it out. I know people don't like this answer. It's not like the Orioles were playing bad teams to start the year. Toronto is a solid team. The Red Sox have high aspirations, and so do the Arizona Diamondbacks. If you don't play well or execute well enough, you're going to lose those games to teams that actually have some solid rosters to begin with.
This one here from Howard in Baltimore says, this team is struggling, has been struggling with hitting since last year. It's time to call it what it is. They are what we think they are. At the end of the season, they'll have some good stats. They'll produce, or will they produce, when it matters most? That's the greatest concern there for Howard.
Hmm. Well, at the end of the day, it's you got to execute in the big moments. And in Baltimore sports teams nowadays, right, you get to the postseason, that's what matters. And what do you do once you get there? Because they do have star power, Bob. The Birds got star power, but they got to get to the postseason. And unfortunately, it's not going to change anyone's perception here. For the Baltimore fans, if they don't do a little bit of work in the postseason.
And trying to find that balance between the 2023 team that led baseball with runners in scoring position. Yep. Middle of the pack with homers. Last year, one of the top two or three in the league in homers, but sucked with runners in scoring position. Trying to find that that fine balance offensively.
This one here, we talked about the all-orange uniforms set to debut, or be reintroduced rather, tomorrow. Bob and I shared our opinions earlier in the show. Will in Baltimore says the O's should try to use the combination of orange pants and white shirts. Getting a little funky there. The reverse creamsicle.
Yeah, that's Studio 57 or Studio 54. Where's Elton John and Cher when you need them? I'll pass on that combination.
You know, we had one of those combos in Norfolk in AAA. We were whatever the name was for the Birds there for the Tides. I'm blanking for a second, but we had the white tops and we had these bright orange pants. And you can imagine, you can visualize this right now, Bob. I had some really tight orange pants. I went 0-for, but I did have the winning run. Didn't get a hit, but I scored the winning run in those orange pants there down in Norfolk.
Did you slide, or you didn't want to get any dirt on those?
I think I might have had a show slide in the second base. No throw, but had to get the uni dirty a little bit.
Yeah, that's slow pitch softball looking right there.
Is orange slimming? Black is slimming with the pants. Is orange slimming?
That's Boog Pal. That's why they got rid of the orange ones in the first place.
Let's see, and we'll do this one here on the Ravens. Quick pit stop, or really the AFC North. Texter says, the idea of the Ravens losing to Joe Flacco as the Browns starter makes me sick to my stomach. Why couldn't he stay out of the division? Can't get rid of this guy. At this rate, he's going to play to 45 like Brady.
I mean, are you afraid of Flacco? I mean, we love him, respect him. He's going to be Ring of Honor, rightfully so, and he's a Raven for life. I don't think I'm afraid of him. If anything, I'm looking forward to the three turnovers that are coming that day.
Yeah, there's three things that you can count on in life. Death, taxes, and Flacco's going to give you one at some point there. And this was 2 years ago when the Browns were having that momentum.
Yeah. He was 4-1 down the
stretch. Like little glimpse of a moment, I'd be like, I'm a little nervous. I think that time's come and gone. But we want to see Joe do well.
He'll break out the howitzer on a great throw, and then all of a sudden, you know, Nate Wiggins is run in for a touchdown. How's that sound?
Yeah, the arm punt, right?
It's like that playoff game.
They get used
for like back-to-back pick sixes. The game was over right there.
It was a flurry of turnovers. That game was over by halftime. We're done?
We were done.
Just
sorry,
like that?
We ran out of time.
Oh, by the way, Josh Johnson, speaking of former Ravens quarterback, signed with Washington. Talk about a guy who won't retire. Josh Johnson. And I don't know if he'd ever played for them before, but if he hadn't, add another list, a name on the list of teams he has played for. That's going to do it for us. Ryan, appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Bob.
I will see you Tuesday down at Pickles.
We'll be there.
Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Nolan, I'll see you in about 5 minutes doing our promo for Monday's show. Vinny's going to be back. We got a busy weekend of sports ahead. We'll talk about what we see on Monday. For Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, and Bob Haney, Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you on Monday. For now, class dismissed.